The choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I am Chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 146. Level up, develop your career. Over the past several weeks, we have been leveling up various areas of personal finance, many of which are very traditional topics that any financial advisor or financial planner might end up working with a client on. And a lot of these things are taught. They're taught at the collegiate level, the graduate level, and so on. And about not just about what the how these things function in terms of personal finances, but working through helping people and how do you effectively encourage people to actually do these things? But this is an area, career development is an area that is woefully, woefully under-focused on in the financial planning world. And what's really wild about it being woefully not talked about, undertaught, undereducated, is that of all the ways you could build better finances and a stronger future when it comes to your how your wealth is built and your investing and all that stuff, career development, it's literally just adding rocket fuel, essentially, to that engine. We're talking minor league to major league difference here, folks. And so I wanna stress the importance of all these things. You want to talk about saving the best for last? I'll tell you, this is a biggie, because if you're able to develop your career and you're able to level up what you're earning, one, any of the other four episodes in this series, paying down debt, spending smarter, saving more money, and investing more, all of that is way easier if you make more money. Now, that may just, you may be listening to this and going, well, no kidding. No kidding, Briggs. I understand there. If you're coming at that with that angle or that a little bit of salt on that one, I can appreciate it. But hear me out on this. It doesn't have to be a monumental upgrade for it to have a monumental impact. And let me explain. So if you're making, let's say, $70,000, $60,000 at your job. Let's say you're making 60 and you upgrade to 70, or if you're making 70, you upgrade to 80, or if you're making $120 and you upgrade to $130. All those are the same thing. It's a $10,000 increase. But here's the strength of this. If you have a sustainable lifestyle on what you're currently earning now, and then you earn another $10,000 a year on top of it, and that could be, we'll talk about what that could mean in a couple of minutes, but in terms of how to do it. But to say, if you were to earn $10,000 more a year in compensation, then after taxes, let's just assume about $7,000 comes home, give or take. If you were to take that money, $583 a month, $7,000 a year, and you were to sit there and put that in an investment account for 30 years, and you were able to achieve a 10% rate of return for that 30 years, you would have, after 30 years, $1.2 million. So let me reframe this. $10,000 earned a year, saved and invested over 30 years with a good, not insane rate of return, good rate of return, historically supported rate of return if you were to just buy into the S&P 500 index. No special Briggs financial strategy required. And you're a millionaire. Or you're adding an extra $1.2 million per $10,000 a year. There you're able to say, I can set that aside for later. Don't need that right now. Happy living my life, being content, living my life the way it is, and I can pocket that. Now, if you sit there and say, you know, you get a good raise and you want a little bit of a lifestyle improvement, sure, I get it. But take the vast majority of it. Take that chunk, take that raise, and let's put that to work. Because the other option is, unless you plan to work your job until you're 85. And most people, in fact, all people I have ever worked with, when posed with the question, do you want to work until you're 85? It doesn't matter if they're young or old, they all look at me and go, no way, Briggs, no flipping way. Now, me, I'm kind of crazy. I mean, if I'm still able and I'm enjoying the heck out of this, I love what I do. Can I do it at 85? Sure, I could. At least in some capacity. It could be the next Warren Buffett. But bottom line is that I think for most people, and statistically speaking, and AARP has done studies on this, most people at some juncture, health issues, family member issues, end up killing that whole the dream to work at 85. So if we're being realistic about it, that extra million will really come in handy. And really, I mean, again, that being sourced through cutting, you can cut expenses to a point. And many people need to cut expenses significantly, and you may find 10 grand right there in your food budget. Yeah, oh, that was a shot across the bow, wasn't it? Yeah, that food budget. Let's talk about food spending another time. But it like I said, one of the greatest ways to build wealth is through career advancement. And one, obviously I just made the investment case, the numerical case, but let me get into some of the other talking points. You're able to contribute more to things like your 401k. Being able to take advantage of a larger match, being able to afford strategies, especially if you have emergency savings built up, the ability to pay out of pocket for medical expenses, be on a high deductible plan, take advantage of the incredible tax advantaging HSAs offer. Huge tax advantages, but you have to be able to take the downside risk of paying for your own medical expenses. Well, what does that require? Well, that requires building savings. And save more money 2 weeks ago. How do I do that? Well, far easier to do that when you make more money. So, that's just it. And obviously, the earlier you're able to do this, I mean, if you're able to do this at any point in your life, you're happy to take the extra dough. But particularly significant, if you're doing this and you're under the age of 50, under the age of 40, under the age of 30, that it compounds. Like, the effect of that compounds. And so that's where I would really encourage, especially because there are a lot of life things that tend to happen that may make this feel like more of a back burner. When you're in your 20s and 30s, a lot of people think about, finding their partner, potentially getting married, potentially having kids, potentially getting a house, and so on and so forth. There are a lot of life things that happen that can feel more important than this thing. The challenge then is to put that feeling and set it on be able to identify it, and here it is, but then also weigh that feeling against a thing that isn't going to have nearly as much of the emotional attachment, but it's one of those in the back of your mind. It's kind of like eating your vegetables. Are you excited to eat the broccoli? Some people are. I personally, veggies, take them or leave them, but I understand they're good for me, so you make sure you put them in your diet type of thing. It's kind of the same way with investing and saving for the future. It's not something you're going to be able to Instagram. I mean, and same way with a job promotion or, grinding out, trying to find, whether it's find a new job or get a promotion or whatever it is, it isn't sexy. It isn't exciting. you can at least post about it. Unlike I put more money in my investment account, being able to post about that though and be like, I got a new job, or I got the raise, or I got the promotion, is heavily celebrated on the internet. So you can at least IG that with your friends when you hit it big and get that upgrade. So that let that drive you a little bit. But the catch is that this sort of career advancement thing, it is not going to happen by itself. It's not going to happen by itself. You're going to have to drive the activities that make this happen. It goes, you know, one of my chief frustrations with social media and the internet in general, it's a bunch of people whining and not a lot of people doing. It's a lot of people complaining and not a lot of people accomplishing. You have to be a doer in order for this to happen. You have to act differently to get a different outcome. Which means, really, the big message in this is take ownership of your career. Your career is, think of it like owning a business. Your business, you know, my business, my name's Stephen Briggs, Stephen Briggs Incorporated. Well, it's pretty close. It's Briggs Financial. Name's right on there. Reputation's right on there. My livelihood is this business. 100%. And so, and other people's livelihood, 100% is this business. So, you know, and bottom line is that it will not grow. It will not continue to build. It will not be able to provide the things it needs to provide unless I do things. And here's the catch. Other people are competing with you. You do not live in a static bubble. And this is one of the big, I love video games, but one of the big differences, and I think one of the things that actually tends to happen in gamer culture is this idea that if I make the right choices, if I do the right things, this outcome happens. And you know that when you play a video game, especially a role-playing game, where you're a character, you play multiple characters, you have a storyline, if I make these deterministic decisions, I get the outcome I want eventually. That's not how life works. Sorry. You know, I'm going to quote Captain Picard here from Star Trek. He was talking to Data, and Data's just like, you know, I scanned myself. There must be something wrong with me. I was playing this, we'll call it futuristic version of chess, and this Grandmaster beat me, but I'm a computer. How could I possibly be beaten? I scanned my systems. There's nothing wrong. Clearly, I must be malfunctioning. And Captain Picard replies, Data, you can commit no mistakes and still lose. You can commit no mistakes and still lose. It's possible. That is not a weakness. That is life. Oh. You can apply for job after job after job and not get any hits. Now, it's possible you're doing something wrong. It's also possible you're not doing anything wrong. It's entirely possible you're just unlucky. Sample size not large enough. It takes people on average 200 to 300 applications. I hear people complain, well, how many apps did you do? 20? 10? Why is anyone called? Well, you're competing against pools with 50, 100, 200, 500, 1,000 applicants. What are the odds you get selected for an interview if you're all of the same skill? And some of you will be more highly skilled, some of you will be less highly skilled. And then there's the variation of just the other person reading it and going, what clicked with them? So in all of that, like, but you've got to do things. You've got to own this if you want to make it happen. So, I mean, when it comes to the actionability of this, investing in your career. Are you updating your LinkedIn profile every 6 months? Or are you doing it are you waiting until you get pissed off about your job and then you update your LinkedIn? That's what most people do, by the way. They get pissed off about their job, then they update the LinkedIn. Problem with that is that entire time, someone else could have been looking at your LinkedIn and might have worked in your favor toward a thing that you're building and developing and growing. Someone might be following you and might be interested in you as a talent. But there you are, not updating anything professionally for years. You look stagnant. You look stale. Do you update these things consistently? Are you networking with other professionals? Are you engaging in the space that is your practice trade? If that answer is no, well, you know, don't be surprised when no one knows you and you can't find an opportunity. Well, I applied for all the things. Does anyone know who the heck you are? Have you contributed in any meaningful way to the world that which you live in? Because if those answers are no, you're probably not getting that upgrade until you find a way to make that happen. Then some of those doors have a shot of opening up. Going to, whether it's meetup events, going to conferences, going to, you know, seminars, workshops, trainings, what have you. There are lots of ways to network. Heck, find a Facebook group or some sort of social media group that focuses on your profession and contribute. Support others in those areas. Do you keep up on your skills? Or have you been riding on what you learned in college this entire time? If you're sitting here and you haven't gotten a new, you know, in my industry, certifications are kind of BS. They don't really mean anything. But in other industries, those certifications actually connote knowledge. Like real professional knowledge that you know, whether you want to jump through the hoop or not, you need to. Whatever certification that is, whether, you know, whatever, Microsoft training, Amazon Web Services training, A-plus certification, whether that's getting, your PMP endorsement, whatever that is for project management, those things can be a big level upper when it comes to your career. I think one of our clients has been with us for years, started as a project manager, making $60,000, $70,000 a year. And was doing all the project management work, was busting out, tons and tons of projects, but and was being grossly underpaid for it compared to market, except he didn't have any certification. So after, many months of fighting me on it, battling every other way conceivable to avoid having to do this, finally went and got his PMP endorsement. A few years later now, pushing well north of $150,000 a year, doing the same work, but he's now shown degrees of expertise. He also got some other certifications in the finance realm too, which is awesome. But the bottom line is that what he's being paid for is that project management piece. And if he didn't have that, that endorsement, he would not have gotten the job that would have led to the job he's currently in now, making bank. Making good dollars. That doesn't happen if you don't work on your career. And people know that. Recruiters know that. If you're looking for top 10, you've got to do things that make you stand out above the pack. And most people won't. Most people go home, I'm tired from work, that's the end of the workday, and they're going to Netflix it. They're going to sit and watch, be like me last night, watch the White Sox lose against the Baltimore Orioles. That's what they do. Nah, you know what I was doing while watching that that 9-0 mess of a game? Orioles winning, clearly. I was sitting there reading articles about various parts of the financial world for probably two and a half hours during the game. Why? Because that's every time I'm putting in hours and my competitors aren't, I'm gaining an advantage. And I'm not saying you have to live every waking moment that way, but what I am saying is that when you see people getting ahead, when you see people having success, they're probably working pretty hard for it. Not everyone works hard for it. People love to harp on the people who don't work hard for it. But the vast majority of people, Fidelity puts out a statement, like it's always in the neighborhood of about 80% of millionaires on their platform are new. It's not trusts and transfers and inheritances. It's self-made, from scratch, ground up, became a millionaire. Oh, yeah, you can't get angry at that narrative. We can only get angry at, well, they were handed all that. Most of them weren't. Most of them worked their tail off. Many of them you would never even know had that type of net worth. But it comes to owning your career, being prudent with what you earn, building that thing up. Thinking of yourself as a business. Are you being underpaid for your work? Well, if you're being underpaid, do your homework on it. Do some research. Be prepared to present to your boss why you feel you drive enough value in the organization to be paid more. And if they don't want to hear that argument, find a company that will. Because I tell you, someone will pay you for it. Millions of businesses out there, various fields and industries and so on, someone will pay you for your expertise, but you've got to find them. You got to find that right match for you. I've been here a while. Not a good reason. Oh, I've been here forever. I should get a raise. No, that isn't a reason for anything. There's a market out there, and there are lots of qualified people. I need to earn more. Yeah, I bet you do. But is that going to be a reason for an employer to give you a raise? No. I perform my job in the top X percent, top 10, top 5%. That's a good reason. Because I contributed X or Y, we have, you know, this much more in revenue or this many more clients or what have you. That's a reason. If you, you know, promote me to this role, I can contribute in these ways. This is how I can affect change and improve our organization, improve our ability to compete and win business. And those are good reasons. Do you need more skills? Do you need more training? Do you need to look elsewhere? If you're getting negative feedback across the board and don't feel like you can get anywhere, it might just be time to move on. But in all of this, notice in all these questions, there's a degree of reflection, and then there's an action. It's a, if they don't want to invest in you, you know, you can mope about it, you can complain about it, or you can do something about it. And usually it's like a sort of a cycle of grief goes on. First you mope or complain about it, then you mope about it. And then finally you get pissed off enough where you do something about it. Well, don't wait to get pissed off before you do something. If their feedback to you, if you go to your bosses or you go to the owner of a company, let's say your boss is the headache. Maybe you go above the food chain a bit. You get up there and it's still just you're just getting nope, not interested. Well, then you got your answer. You got a couple of tears, wipe them off, move on. They don't deserve any more of that energy. And you constantly putting energy into a thing that is not going to net the result you need. I mean, that doesn't mean go in there and don't do your job. Do your job. You're getting paid to do a job. Do your job. But put your energy then into, well, then I'm looking for the next gig. Don't fight wars. You can't win. If you know that battle is not there right now, unless the facts change, if management changes, you might be able to revisit that. If the facts don't change, well, you know, insanity is kind of ramming your head into a brick wall over and over again and expecting a different result. Well, quit ramming your head into the wall. Walk around it, jump over it, dig under it. Ram through it with a bulldozer. I don't care. It's fine. The bottom line is that you got to approach it differently if you want to get through it. And that's what you need to do then, is to take ownership of this thing and one way or the other, get through it. And when you do, when you develop your career, if you're making even $10,000 more a year after taxes with investing those funds, that's a millionaire in 30 years. If you make more than that and are able to save more than that, maybe that's several million dollars down the line. Oh, is that worth it? Probably. Well, then get to work. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.